Bukhotaba out, ladies, and welcome to another edition of our class on Torah Anytime. I'm so happy to be with you again this week and to study with you the Sadot and the inspiration of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. In this week's Parasha, Chayei Sarah, we learn of the tremendous effort that Avraham Avinu Alav HaShalom utilized in his dealings with Bnei Chet, where ultimately he succeeded in purchasing the Me'arat HaMachpelah from Ephron, paying full price for its purchase, and he turned the Me'ara into an ancestral burial plot where the Avot HaKdoshim and the Imahot are buried. So it's only fitting that we analyze this financial transaction a little more closely and ask ourselves the following question. What prompted Avraham Avinu to go to such lengths to acquire this particular plot of land, the Me'arat HaMachpelah, and to use it as an ancestral burial ground? We'll begin by explaining why Avraham Avinu purchased the Me'arat HaMachpelah based on the pasuk in our parasha that states the following. Vatamat Sarah b'Kiryat Arba Hi Chevron, Be'eretz Kena'an. And Sarah died in Kiryat Arba, which is Chevron, in the land of Kena'an. Rashi HaKadosh, Alav HaShalom, comments based on a Midrash, and he writes that the place was named Kiryat Arba, which literally means the city of four, because of the four couples who were buried there, Adam and Chava, Avraham and Sarah, Yitzchak and Rivka, and Yaakov and Leah. Hence, Avraham yearned to acquire the cave so that he and Sarah, along with the other Avot and Imahot, could be buried there together with Adam and Chava. But how did Avraham Avinu know that Adam and Chava were buried in the Me'arat HaMachpelah? Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Alav HaShalom explains in the Zohar HaKadosh that the Me'arat HaMachpelah was near the entrance to Gan Eden. When Chava was nifteret, when she passed away, Adam went to bury her there, and he smelled the scent of Gan Eden. He decided to dig even further, but he was commanded to stop by a bat kol, by a heavenly voice. Adam stopped digging, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed him to be buried there. Who took care of his burial? His son Shet, who Chachamim say resembled his father. But according to Rabbi Rachumai, Alav HaShalom, it was HaKadosh Baruch Hu who took care of forming Adam, and he's the one who also took care of his burial. So there's a difference of opinions as to how Adam HaRishon was buried. Ladies, until Avraham Avinu came along and entered this cave, no one knew where Adam HaRishon was buried. Avraham passed by and smelled the scent of Gan Eden, and he heard the Malachi HaSharet saying, Adam HaRishon is buried there, and Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov are also destined to be in this place. Avraham saw a lit candle, and then he left the cave. Rabbi Shimon says that from that moment, Avraham longed for that place. So let's move on and embellish on this amazing thought. We could try to understand Avraham's great desire to purchase the Me'arat HaMachpelah as a family burial plot based on a concept we find in our Sfarim HaKadoshim. Ladies, I'm about to reveal to you something amazing about the power of our tefillot. So hold on to your seats because we're going on a very, very lofty journey. Chachamim explain that all of Bnei Israel's tefillot pass via the Me'arat HaMachpelah. The holy Baal Megale Amukot Alav HaShalom writes the following. Gimel tfilot shetiknu bechol yom avot ha'olam. The three daily prayers that were instituted by the three avot. שאין תפילה שלנו נשמעת אלא כשעולים דרך מערת המכפלה ששם ג' אבות.
Our prayers are not heard unless they ascend by way of the מערת המכפלה, because this is where the three אבות are situated. Ladies, this is amazing. We're soon going to learn why this is so relevant. And the בעל מגלה עמוקות continues to write,
ולכן כל התפילות אינן נשמעין, therefore all of our prayers are not heard, עד שהולכין מתחילה דרך מערת המכפלה,
until they pass by way of the מערת המכפלה,
ששם נקברין ג' אבות, because it's there that the three אבות are buried. Ladies, these are the astounding words of the בעל מגלה עמוקות. Now, in addition to this, to add to the בעל מגלה עמוקות חידוש, the great Rama of Pano עליו השלום, in an essay titled Yonat Ilem, stated the following. I'm going to translate his words to you straight away into English. He says that Eretz Yisrael is always referred to in the Torah HaKadosha as Eretz Canaan, even during the years of conquest and division of the land, interestingly. And according to the Zohar HaKadosh, it's called Eretz Kana'an so that we don't take it for granted and think that it's ours forever no matter what. He writes that the land was given to us on the condition that we obey HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mitzvot, the laws. And only then is it referred to by the name that we call it today, which is Eretz Yisrael. Otherwise, Chas V'Shalom, if we disobey HaKadosh Baruch Hu's commandments, the land can revert to becoming Eretz Kana'an once again. That's a scary thought. But the Rama of Pano fascinatingly points out that the Hebrew name Kana'an, which is spelled Chaf Nun Ayin Nun, is Rashi Tevot for the words in Tehillim, Kinor Na'im Im Navel, the sweet harp with the lyre. And this phrase, Kinor Na'im Im Navel in Gematria, is equal to 638. Ladies, 638 is the same numerical value as the names of our three Avot put together, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. This is a Pele Plaot, Pele Plaot. Not only that, but the first letters of the phrase in Tehillim that read, Shiru Lahashem Shir Chadash, if you take the first letter from each of these words, that also equals 638. What does this all mean? All these ramazim, all these clues indicate that all our praises and all our tefillot that ascend to Shamayim, they have to pass through the Ma'arat HaMachpelah, which is the resting place of the three Avot. And this important principle, by the way, is also presented by the Noam Elimelech Alav HaShalom, who adds a very interesting and fascinating chidush to what we've been saying until now. He writes that our tefillot actually awaken the avot. Wow! Not only do our tefillot pass through the Me'arat HaMachpelah, but in addition to our tefillot passing through the Me'arat HaMachpelah, he explains that all of our Torah learning and mitzvot also go through the Me'arat HaMachpelah. He explains that after our tefillot, after our Torah learning, and after the mitzvot pass through the resting place of the Avot and of Adam HaRishon, they ascend to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's house in the heavens, and they do so in order to please Him. So if a person davens with the proper kavanah, it benefits him and it benefits HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So now perhaps we can understand why Avraham Avinu longed to purchase the Me'arat HaMachpelah. It's because he realized through Ruach HaKodesh that all of the tefillot of his descendants, Bnei Yisrael, were destined to pass through that place. But ladies, now we run into a little bit of a problem, a slight contradiction. You see, we learn
in Parashat Vayetze, that when Yaakov Avinu Alav Shalom was on his way to Haran, he slept on the site of the future Bet HaMikdash. He woke up, and the Pasuk tells us that he became frightened. What did he say? He proclaimed, Ma nora hamakom hazeh, en ze ki'im bet elokim, veze shar hashamayim. He says, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate to the heavens. Rashi HaKadosh comments on the words, veze shar hashamayim, and he says, makom tfila la'alot tfilatam hashamayma. This is a place of prayer for Bnei Yisrael's tfilot to ascend towards Shamayim. And the Midrash interprets it as the Bet HaMikdash on high, which is aligned opposite to the Bet HaMikdash below. So from here we see that all of our tfilot actually rise up through the site of the Bet HaMikdash here on earth. So if that's the case, how can we reconcile this idea with what we've been saying all along, that our tefillot actually go through Me'arat HaMachpelah? Do they go through the Me'arat HaMachpelah, or do they go through the site of the Bet HaMikdash? So before we can reconcile these two ideas, let's first explain why our tefillot have to pass through the Me'arat HaMachpelah. Chachamim in the Gemara teach us that Eliyahu HaNavi Zachur Latov goes to the Me'arat HaMachpelah in order to wake up those who are sleeping in Hebron. Who's sleeping in Hebron? The Avot HaKdoshim. And why does he wake them up? So that they'll daven on our behalf. Ladies, this is an amazing, amazing concept, what I'm telling you here, what we're learning together here. Let me translate the words of the Gemara for you so you see how amazing this concept is. The Gemara tells us, it happened one day that Eliyahu HaNavi came to visit the yeshiva of Rabbeinu HaKadosh. That day was Rosh Chodesh, and Eliyahu HaNavi came late. Rabbeinu HaKadosh asked Eliyahu HaNavi, why were you late today? And Eliyahu HaNavi replied, oh, until I woke Avraham up and washed his hands and he prayed and I put him back to sleep and did the same for Yitzchak and Yaakov, only then was I able to come. Ladies, just so you know, I don't even know if you realize this, but I'm sure you do, we're learning very lofty ideas here that shouldn't be taken lightly. But anyhow, the Gemara poses the following question. Why didn't Eliyahu HaNavi wake up all three Avot at the same time so that they could all daven together? And the Gemara answers that Eliyahu HaNavi was afraid that if all the Avot will daven together at the same time, their combined influence and power would be so overwhelming that their tefillot would elicit HaKadosh Baruch Hu's divine mercy, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have no other choice but to send us the Mashiach prematurely before the designated time of the Geulah. You hear this? Therefore, Eliyahu HaNavi woke up each one of the Avot individually and at different times. Now, how we explain the fact that dead people are getting up, washing their hands, and davening, that's a separate shiur in itself. But just know that the Maharsha, in a sefer called Chidushei Agadot, he does explain this concept of neshamot that come back into bodies, but it's not for our shiur today. We're just going to take it as a given. So let's examine Eliyahu HaNavi's protocol more closely. Why does he only go to wake up the avot for the tefillah on Rosh Chodesh? Is it possible that they don't daven on a daily basis? It can be. So the Ben Ish Chai, Alav HaShalom, in his sefer Ben Yehoyada, explains the reason why Eliyahu HaNavi only wakes up the Avot to daven on Rosh Chodesh. He says that on Rosh Chodesh, Eliyahu HaNavi stands the Avot upright in order to daven. But on all the other days of the month, the Avot HaKadoshim daven while they're still lying down. So Eliyahu Navi first stands them up, and then he lays them back down on Rosh Chodesh. And the reason he does this is because standing them up is similar to the process of Tchiyat HaMetim, whereas lying them down is a procedure that's similar to Mavet, to death. Now, what does this mean? In truth, the Avot HaKadoshim daven every day. However, their daily tefillot are performed only by their neshamot. In other words, as they're in their lying position in the cave. But on Rosh Chodesh, Eliyahu HaNavi awakens the Avot from their slumber so that their neshamot will enter their bodies, and then they daven with their souls in their bodies. You hear this? So the Maharsha says, this is why Eliyahu HaNavi has to wash Avraham Avinu's hands, because it's required of someone who gets up from his sleep to first wash his hands in preparation for davening. So, since we're talking about very lofty inyanim, let's analyze this idea further so that we get a clearer picture of what the Ben Ish Chai is really telling us. The question is, if the Avot daven every day while they lay down in the cave without being clothed by their bodies, and they're davening only as neshamot, why does Eliyahu HaNavi bother to wake them up every Rosh Chodesh in order for them to daven in their bodies? What difference does it make? And also, why is Eliyahu HaNavi so concerned not to wake them up all simultaneously out of fear that it's going to produce some divine mercy and bring the Geula prematurely? What's wrong with the premature Geula? We could all use Yeshuot. We could all benefit from a salvation right here and right now. So what's the problem? The Maharsha Alav HaShalom explains that Rosh Chodesh is a time that's particularly suited to daven for the Geula. It's the time of the month when HaKadosh Baruch Hu fills in the moon's deficit, and the light of the moon resembles the light of the sun. For this reason, Eliyahu HaNavi is extremely concerned that the tefillot of the Avot that are recited be'achdut on Rosh Chodesh may stimulate some divine rachamim, which would result in the Geula coming before the appropriate time. So let's resolve these amazing chidushim and set things straight in one shot. According to the Ben Ish Chai, we said that Eliyahu HaNavi does not wake up the Avot throughout the month. Instead, the neshamot of the Avot daven while their bodies remain in a lying position, in a state of sleep, inside the Me'arat HaMachpelah. However, when Rosh Chodesh comes around on the calendar, and we know that Rosh Chodesh is the opportune time to daven for the Geula, that's when Eliyahu HaNavi wakes up the Avot so they can enter their bodies and daven together with him for the future redemption. Now, we said earlier, isn't Eliyahu HaNavi concerned that the tefillot of the Avot may generate some overwhelming mercy and hasten the Geula prematurely? Yes, he is concerned. So what did Eliyahu HaNavi do in order to balance out his concern? He devised an extremely clever test to determine whether or not the appropriate time has arrived to daven for the final Geula. What's the test? First, he wakes up each of the Avot separately so that they don't daven together. By doing this, each one of the Avot separately can stimulate divine mercy for the future Geula at its proper time. And after each one has davened, Eliyahu HaNavi returns them to their respective resting place. Now here's the clincher. If the appropriate time for the final Geula has not yet arrived, none of the Avot who are davening individually and separately will succeed in bringing the Geula prematurely. It's not going to happen. But if the time for the Geula has indeed arrived, Even Eliyahu HaNavi won't be able to put Avraham Avinu back to sleep once Avraham begins to daven for the Geula. Instead, the siman, that is the time now for the Geula, will be that Avraham Avinu will remain alive in his body, with his neshama intact inside his body, and Eliyahu HaNavi will realize, oh, wait, this is Triyat HaMetim. And when he's going to see this, then he'll be able to join the other avot to Avraham Avinu so that they can all daven together for the Geula. And when he wakes up Yitzhak, Yitzhak will daven for the Geula and he won't return to his slumber either. And the same thing will happen with Yaakov. That's the siman. This means that all three avot will join forces together in prayer and usher in the final Geula at the appropriate moment once and for all. That's the test that Eliyahu HaNavi devised to determine whether or not the appropriate time for the Geula has arrived. This is a pele plaot, ladies. A pele plaot. Last but not least, we can now understand why it is that all our tefillot must make their journey through the Me'arat HaMachpelah. The Zohar HaKadosh explains that when a person learns Torah or performs a mitzvah in a way that lacks the proper yir'ah and ahava, then the learning and the mitzvot cannot rise up towards Shamayim. It turns out that this same principle can be applied to our tefillot. Our prayers cannot ascend without the proper yir'ah, without the proper ahava. Now, there are very few people out there who are able to daven in this ideal and perfect manner of yir'ah and ahava together. So what are the rest of us going to do? Our tefillot are not going to rise up. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in His infinite mercy and kindness, knows that we can't all daven in this manner. He therefore made it that all our tefillot should pass through the Me'arat HaMachpelah. Once our tefillot are there, they join forces with the tefillot of the Avot HaKedoshim. And we know that the Avot certainly daven in the most perfect and ideal manner. And as a result of that, when the tefillot of the Avot rise up to Shamayim, guess what happens? Our tefillot rise up together with theirs. How beautiful is this, ladies? Amazing. So let's quickly review and we'll conclude our shiur. We learned that initially, our tefillot journey through the Me'arat HaMachpelah so that our tefillot can unite with the tefillot of the Avot HaKdoshim. And they daven in the ideal manner with Ahava and Yir'ah. And when our tefillot unite with the tefillot of the Avot, our prayers become rectified and remedied. And as a result, they rise up to Shamayim so that they can be heard and answered. Yi ratzon, ladies, that all of our tefillot should collectively bring about the Yeshua and cause Eliyahu HaNavi to finally announce the Geula in our days. Amen. Ken, yi ratzon.